You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Friday, Conrad. How are you?
I'm good.
You have been a champ. You have been trying to get to troubleshoot a little bit here in our fine studio, the Nightlight Studios, which is always, it's always fun watching you work, but you got our camera up and working, and I think you've done a swell job.
I'd like to think so. It's working right now. I can see your face. So
yeah, it's amazing what a guy can do with a slide rule and a Swiss Army knife. Very well done.
Yep.
Welcome everybody to the show tonight. It's going to be a fun show. We've got an in-studio guest. We've got some music talk. It is a bar band Friday night. That's always fun. Our usual partner in crime, Terry Barr, will not be here tonight. What did Terry give us an excuse? Not that she needs to. She doesn't need a note or anything.
I think maybe she just needed to take a day off, you know?
Really?
Or she's going to see some cool music.
You know, she spends 20 minutes a week with us. She needs a week off.
Yeah, I think it's too much time with you, Pete.
Poor Conrad. We will miss Terry, but as usual, or as often is the case, her partner in crime on Max Inc. Radio, the award-winning Max Inc. Radio rocker, will join us for Bar Band Friday night at 7:30. That will be fun. Always great to catch up with rocker. And at 6:35 here in the studio, we are going to have a guest named Chris Mays. He's great. Chris lives up by me. I don't know if you knew that. He's like he's up in the greater Marinette area. He's in the burbs. He's in Peshtigo. But Chris will be here. He is the he runs a dinner detective series. Very fun. You ever do one of those?
No. I've played like the game with family of trying to find who the murderer is, you know, of one of those games for Christmas or something like that, but I haven't done
it. I feel like that would be really hard to organize something like that.
This family really likes to play games. So.
No, I get that. I love. You talking about your family?
Yeah.
Yeah, ours too. I mean, I love board games. It's more about hanging out and yelling at each other and laughing and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like these dinner detective series that they do in these hotels seem pretty elaborate. It seems like it would be a tough thing to organize. But
I totally agree. But it looks so much fun.
I agree. I've always meant to do one. I just never, I kind of forget about it. And then I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds like a blast. So maybe Chris can twist our arm or not that he needs
road
to.
Road trip.
Yeah. Road trip over to the Hyatt. That's where they do them, right down
oh,
the street
really?
Here.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah. That's road trip.
Yeah. And our friend Kayla, what's Kayla's? Kayla Miller, who was our Washington Street model one night for Nightlight Window Fund. She does some acting too.
Cool.
And she does that too. So. We'll get to the bottom of it with Chris at 6:35. He will be here in person, and that will be fun. So, folks, wherever you're joining us from in the beautiful state of Wisconsin or parts beyond, welcome. It's great to have you, and the week is over. You made it. We're not quite there yet. We have to entertain you for a couple hours, and then we'll be off the hook as well. But hope you had a great week. And if you didn't, all the more reason you're here. We got some fun conversations tonight. Two good guests. The World Series starts tonight. That's kind of exciting. Yeah. I mean, I know the Brewers.
Yeah, that's all right. Basketball's on, so I'll watch that.
Wow, God, I gotta be honest, dude. I mean, I like sports, but early regular season NBA, no thanks.
You get to see what you're looking at for the teams, you know? It's early preview, and I mean, the first game of the year went into double overtime and looked like it was the Western Conference Finals. How they played. Could be a preview.
Who was it?
It was the Thunder.
Okay.
And the Rockets.
I got one word for you. Snooze. No, I'm kidding. My opinion on that changed kind of in the last 10 years. I could watch an NBA game any day of the week, and I'd put it on just to have it on while I'm working or whatever. But all of a sudden, I'm all about, unless it's the NFL, 17 games. That's all it is, baby. One a week, I'm there. I cannot follow baseball or basketball all season. Wake me up when the playoffs start. I just can't do it.
Yeah, basketball is my favorite sport, so.
So having said that, would you rather, I asked you this a couple weeks ago, and you said the Brewers were your favorite, they were your favorite team to win a championship because
yes.
The Bucks had done that and the Packers have done it a couple times. But like what, overall, would it be the Bucks?
Oh, I don't even like the Bucks.
You still like Arizona, or is it, who is it?
It's actually Phoenix? Like the Rockets now.
Now you like the Rockets. That's a convenient okay. fandom you have there.
Yeah.
Is Kevin Durant on the Rockets now?
Yes. Yes, he is.
That's okay. That's not like being a fair weather fan though, because I understand totally cheering for a person.
Well, you know, I mean, last year the Suns were not good at all, and all right. I still was a fan, so.
All right. But I get following a player. That makes it, yeah, that brings a little drama
to it. It's the only sport I do it in.
Really?
But it's my favorite sport.
There's only five of those dudes out there at any given time, so you're cheering for 20% of the team, really. So let's do this, Con, because I think we have kind of a fun question tonight. Let's get to the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right, it's National Food Day. So we have a food-related question. What is the best after-bar food? What is the best after-bar food? In honor of National Food Day. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. Or if you're watching the radio on the stream, like people often do, you can drop us a stream comment. Either way, it's interesting because my mind goes typically to like three different things. So I'm looking for some outside the box answers here. Like Amanda Nimmer earlier said Taco Bell. I feel like we're getting a lot of Taco Bell.
Yeah, I've had a bunch of Taco Bell after the bar.
But I think my favorite, if I had the option, where I live in Marinette, Wisconsin, you don't have a lot of options. It's basically fast food. And they close around the time the bars do. So you got to cut out early before last call if you want grub. But I've been in cities where you have better options, like in LA, there were sometimes food trucks, taco trucks were still open all night. Oh my God. Street tacos or something like that. Sign me up. There's a place in Milwaukee, right down the street from the Comedy Cafe on Brady Street called Cataldo's. I think it's still there. They used to serve Italian food till 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like an old mob hangout. So I guess I would say probably just by default, tacos, whether it's Taco Bell, a food truck somewhere. There's something about tacos. They're just fun to pound after a night of boozing, you know?
I've had my fair share of tacos after the bar. I have a funny story, actually. I was with one of my friends, and we went to, you know, one of the bars down here in Green Bay. They had a food truck across the street, and it was a taco truck. And me, I'm just like, I'll just have some regular, like, I think I got some pork, you know, tacos and just some onions on it and a little bit of salsa. My friend asked for hot, like it hot, you know? And the guy goes, are you sure? It's like, it's pretty hot.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, no, I love hot. We get back to my house. I look over at him. He's crying. His eyes are so watery.
It's like, is that like ghost peppers in it or something?
And he was pretty drunk too, so he's like watering it, just like, I regret this. And then after he ate that, he's like, I'm going to bed.
The best is eating food after the bars is great, but the best is almost watching people who are sloppy drunk eating, because it's so like they'd be so embarrassed if they knew. But there's so many great stories of people chowing after bar time. I remember my brother and his friends, I was staying with them in Madison, and he had a bunch of friends visiting. He's a little younger than me. I was there doing stand-up, so I was hanging out with these guys. And one of their friends put a pizza in at like 2 a.m. when they got home, and they all passed out. And the oven was on all night, and the pizza was like basically a piece of charcoal at like 8 in the morning. The place was sweltering because the oven was on. And I can't remember who the guy's name was. It was like Pinniger, and he's like, one of the guys gets up and goes, hey, Pinniger, your pizza's done. I was in there for like 7 hours. Like, that's the danger, too, when you eat after, you know, you got the calories, for one.
Oh, yes. Well, you already had your calories in what you were drinking.
Alcohol. Yeah, exactly.
And now you're adding on to it with dough and sauce.
The worst stuff you could. Oh, pizza. There you go. Pizza's that, another good one.
Well, that's mine. I can house a pizza. It doesn't matter what form it is. Like, if I get something, you know, from Domino's or something, or just a frozen pizza.
Right.
I will dominate that pizza.
There are people like my friend Rob. I will not use last names. We went to visit our other friend in Stevens Point where he went to school, and we were hanging out at the bars. And Rob had money. Like, he's a dentist now. His dad was a doctor. Like, he was never missing a meal or didn't have clothes on his back. He got more excitement out of waiting for the people at Rocky Rococo to throw away the barely expired pizza, and he would just take it out of the dumpster and eat it. It was like a pride thing.
Was he drunk or?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, not falling over drunk. He just, it's like the guy that would rather look for golf balls than spend money on them. You know, it's just kind of
that's me.
Bargain. Yeah. So.
My answer is definitely pizza. And yours is tacos. And you did any, I guess, any form of tacos for you, too.
I like street tacos. Yeah. I like Taco Bell. I could eat them all after. I mean, I haven't had drinks in a while like that. And it's been years since I've, like, you know, left the bar and went right to get something to eat like that. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's something about the food that just tastes so good then. And you have a pizza place. Like, it's hard to find pizza at that hour. It used to be Rocky Rococo's was open after bar time throughout Wisconsin. There's still a few left. There's one in Stevens Point, actually, because my daughter goes there, and we've seen it. But it's hard to find a variety of food at that hour, you know.
You know, I'll say a close second for me is just a nice burger, too.
Yeah.
One time I Ubered back to my house after the bar, and I ordered the famous 7-pack, I think it is, of George Webb's burgers.
Oh, really?
And when I ordered it, I fell asleep right after.
You didn't even eat them?
My roommate comes upstairs with the bag in his hand. He's like, it's like 11. He's like, yeah, did you order some food last night?
I did. I know two people who have ordered food and paid and driven off because they're so drunk. They shouldn't be driving to begin with, but they pay and then they just leave. And my buddy Dan, who drives by this window every once in a while, he didn't have a car. So he only opened with the drive-thru. So he stood between two cars in line and he just went up and he ordered. Then he's like waiting by the window. Like,
that's awesome.
That's great. I mean, there are so many great after bar stories like that, but I would say, you know, one of my favorites when I lived in Chicago was White Castle's. I mean, talk about great after bar food, these sliders with onions and cheese and, like, it's probably not even really meat.
I've never actually been to one.
Oh, it's so worth it. We had one time we were going to one of our friends was vomiting out the back window, and my friend who was driving didn't even pull over. He's like, hold on to him. Like, why don't you pull over?
hold on to him.
He goes, yeah, hold on to him. We're not, because we were going to White Castle's. All down Addison in Chicago, he's vomiting. All right, our question, folks, and it's a good one. What is the best after bar food? Let us know. It's Peach Wobbin Nightlight. We're coming back with your text, and I'm going to tell you a movie you should see coming up next. The grocery store, the supermarket.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Oh, man. I'm going to do my best to read this. It is National Food Day. What is the best after bar food, folks? That is the nightlight question of the night. Let us know. I say tacos. Conrad said pizza. And we were talking about White Castles too. White Castles is just outstanding after bar food. And you want to know a funny, what I was telling you right before the break, that friend of mine who vomited hanging out the window,
yeah,
driving through the city, still ate White Castles. He rallied.
As you should.
He was just making room. So, all right, you said pizza. I need, can you put bigger font? I forgot my glasses tonight. This is embarrassing. I like the way I look without glasses though. What are your glasses? You think I could, would those work for me?
Definitely not. my eyes are terrible. So.
So, folks, I want to tell you about a really cool event happening in Madison right now. It's the Wisconsin Book Festival, and it's happening now. It started yesterday. It goes through the 26th, bringing together authors and readers of all ages, interests, genres, you name it. Don't miss out on the New York Times bestsellers Jane Hamilton or Mary Roach, and there will be dozens of others there, as well as they gather for readings and conversations and all kinds of fun book talk. Great stuff happening, and you can find out more information at civicmedia.us. It's all there right there on the website. You know what else is on the website, Conrad?
What's that?
All of the cataloged nightlight shows and daily shows. So that if you miss a show, check out the podcast at civicmedia.us. And all right, now I'm going to tell you guys about a movie. I saw this film in 2017 at the Wisconsin Film Festival, and I read about it in the guide. I had nothing to do. I was done with my duties there for the day of doing Q&As and introducing films and stuff. And I went to see it, and it was one of the most badass movies I've ever seen. And it's called Revenge. And it's about a woman who goes away with her husband for like a romantic getaway. And these two guys show up, her husband's friends, who are very unsavory characters. And they sort of, they assault her while he's out. And they're going after her. She runs, and the husband comes back. And as it turns out, he's on their side. And they're chasing her. She falls off a cliff. This is almost going to sound unbelievable. She falls off a cliff, like 20, 30 feet maybe. And a rock goes right through her midsection. And they just leave her for dead, assuming she's dead. Well, she's not. And the movie is called Revenge. And if you want to see absolute badassery at its best, check it out. I think it's available on a streaming platform. I'm probably going to watch it again this weekend because it was that cool. Revenge. Check it out. All right. As you know, or maybe you don't know, what is it? Bologna Day? It's National Bologna Day, right?
Yeah, I didn't know what it was, and you just sent me a lot of bologna stuff. I was like, maybe you're reminiscent.
That is not my after bar food. But we did put together a little, do we have time to play our bologna montage? All right, so bologna, I don't know how you guys feel about bologna. As you know, you can always text in or call on whatever we're talking about. Let us know your thoughts. You got the question of the night, favorite after bar food. And now, if you want to weigh in on bologna, that's fine. I ate it as a kid. I don't care for it now. I think it's a funny word. I think it's a funny meat, if it is meat. And we put together a little montage of bologna.
My baloney has a first name, it's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name, it's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me, what I'll say. Cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-L-O-G-N-A. How's that?
My baloney has a first name, it's H-O-M-E-R. My baloney has a second name, it's H-O-M-E-R.
Hey, you got Pac-Man?
No.
You got Space Invaders?
Nope.
You got asteroids?
No, but my dad does. Can't even sit on the toilet some days.
So what do you do here, Dale?
Well, I got a stack of nudie books this high.
Oh, she's beautiful. Would you want to sell any of them to me?
No. I cherish these things. And I use them a lot.
How do you use a magazine?
I was getting to that. See, the guy taught me something really neat last year. Did you ever bop your baloney?
That's...
Where's the Gaffigan one?
I don't think you sent me that one.
Yeah, I did. All right. Well, there's our with our baloney montage. Yeah, Gaffigan's. Oh, there's Norm Macdonald. Where's the Gaffigan? Gaffigan does this whole thing about baloney. I can't believe that. That made the montage, ladies and gentlemen. We'll find it. It's a very funny bit. But let us know where you stand on baloney. Are you a baloney fan, Con?
No.
Were you ever?
I don't recall.
Okay.
Being like, Mom, please get some baloney.
I'm begging you, Mom. Layman Rob on social media says pizza and cheese curds together?
Yeah.
I'd probably go that route.
Why not? Toss it on there.
Absolutely. Janet from social media says, well, it was the burritos at Taco Grande. Is that a Green Bay place? Taco Grande.
I don't know where that is. Maybe.
She says, some of your audience might remember it and the Belcher. we frequented from 79 to 81. Best burritos in town. And it was... State Street. Oh, it was out in Madison. Okay, they moved to Francis Street in Tillicolo. I'm sorry, Janet. It sounds like a delightful place. All right. Keep those answers coming, folks. We will get to some more of your texts when we come back after the news. We're going to talk dinner detectives. It's going to be great. Chris Mays is here. He's in studio, and you got to hear this, and you got to try it because it sounds like a lot of fun. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Our question tonight is, what is the best after bar food? Our pal Nick Wallander from Comedy City, right? DePere?
Comedy City DePere,
yeah. Nick's great. We got to get Nick back in here with those guys. They're always fun to have.
Yeah, do those little improv games.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's do that. But Nick says, a grilled cheese sandwich clumsily made in your kitchen while you try not to wake anybody up. That's a great. Oh, and Dave on the stream says, gyro and fries. Absolutely. There have been times I've craved a gyro so much. I've gone to Arby's. And they don't even have the right sauce. But sometimes you just got to have that salty meat after the bars. Keep those texts coming, folks. We'll catch up in just a bit. All right, I am excited to have my next guest in studio. I don't often have a lot of in-studio guests from north of Green Bay, because that's where I live, but I do tonight. This next gentleman joins me in the studio here for the first time, but not the first time on the show. He is the creator of Clearly Confused Productions, and he runs great productions as the Dinner Detective Shows. Man, I'm trouble talking here. Mr. Chris Mays. Hey, buddy.
Hey, nice to see you, Pete.
Nice to see you, too. Yeah. I'm glad we finally made this work. You're a busy guy. You're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good to have you here.
For sure.
Do you have a favorite after bar food?
Well, I heard somebody mention pizza, so you can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong with pizza.
When I think of late nights and I think of bars, I think of chicken wings.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one. Yeah. Haven't heard that one yet.
Oh, yeah. Some garlic parm wings and
that sort
of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That to me is deliciously late night.
Do you have a favorite food in general? Now, I'm asking a guy who lives in Peshtigo. We are not exactly... The culinary capital of the world is not in Marinette, Peshtigo. But do you have a favorite restaurant there or a favorite... don't tell me you own a restaurant there.
No, I don't. I mean, late night, yeah, you're pretty much looking Quick Trip, right? Or, you know, maybe Culver's.
Oh, Quick Trip's not bad.
No.
After bars?
Absolutely.
Get yourself a chicken sandwich?
Yeah, I do a lot of traveling with my work with the Dinner Detective. So, I mean, you know, I go into all these towns and cities and stuff and late night. Yeah, I mean, and some of these places like Quick Trip. Nobody beats Quick Trip.
Anyways. Listen, you know what would be better? And I'm nitpicking because I do like Quick Trip, but I always go in there and they have cheese curds, and I don't want cheese curds at 11 o'clock at night.
Sure.
I want the potato, those little potato cheesy things they make.
Oh, yeah.
And they're in the same box as the cheese curds. And I go in, I'm like, oh, they have them. And I get up there and it's cheese curds, which are fine, but I, you know.
Yeah. Probably because the cheese curds last longer, you know.
I'm sure.
Which I don't know if that's good or bad.
Probably bad.
Yeah, exactly. But you know.
I don't know if they take requests either. Like if I put my order in, would they make me?
I don't know, but there's always seems to be somebody in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, even late at night, I've gone in there and they're doing, they're concocting things. So
it's fine cuisine. It's the best gas station cuisine, certainly.
It is. I've ever had. Beats Wawa, beats all these places, you know. So
what are your thoughts on bologna, Chris?
I used to eat a lot of bologna when I was a kid. You know, okay. And yeah, I heard you talking about that too. I have not had a bologna sandwich though, and I cannot tell you how long it has been, but you know, hey, it has a first name, right? L-I-C-A-R and that whole deal. I mean, it's got status. You know, everybody should have some bologna at some point.
It's like the meat of yesteryear or days gone by. Because you're right, I used to eat it too. Right. I don't think I could, if I had a gun in my head, I'd have to do some serious thinking about eating a bologna sandwich. They're both going to kill you.
Yeah, but, eventually. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Anyway, well, it's good to have you here. Give us a little background before we get into Dinner Detective, which I'm very excited to talk about, and clearly confused, your company. Tell us a little background about yourself.
Well, I'm originally not from Wisconsin. I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, born and raised. And, you know, I kind of lived just the average life of a kid there and played sport. You know, there is a city there and people do grow up there, right? So, and because this was entertainment, I got to see a lot of shows. I was exposed to that sort of thing, but I never really got into this line of work till I left. I went to college in a place called Cedar City, Utah. So I went from 750,000 people to about 13,000 overnight. And I went there to play Division I baseball, and I was going to be a baseball coach, and I was going to teach history, and I kind of had my whole plan, you know, laid out. And then I took an acting class as a elective, and that led to, hey, you should audition for the student directed one acts for the directing class. And then I did that, and the guy who taught that class was the founder of Utah Shakespeare Festival. So Utah Shakespeare Festival is one of the top five Shakespeare festivals in the world.
Really?
Just right there in Cedar City.
Wow.
So I met him and I started working through the main stage program at the campus and kind of gradually bled on over and kind of left the education track and went into the theater world. And eventually, by the time I was 19, I was working professionally. I was doing Shakespeare, you know, standing on stage, holding spears and carrying notes, getting paid for it.
Wow, nice.
I didn't have to work at the Quick Trip or we had Maverick in Cedar City. And yeah, so it just kind of went from there, Pete, you know. So this is going to be year 34.
Working
in the business.
Wow.
Yeah. And good, so, and over time, you just, as you know, too, being in this line, you diversify. So everybody kind of starts off as a performer or something like that. And then I started directing. I actually started producing before I even left college. So that's where I got my feet wet there. I was designing. I was, you know, so I've done pretty much anything you could think of in this business, and got really heavy into probably, I would say, about 24, 25 years ago when it came to producing and administration and operating and did that for different theater companies. I worked for a group called Merlin Entertainment. Merlin Entertainment controls Lego brand, the Mall of America Aquarium, the London Eye, you know, had stuff all over the world. So I got to actually work in entertainment on a global scale too. So it's been quite the journey that brought me to where I am now, sitting with you here in Green Bay.
Northeast Wisconsin, baby.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, because I think everybody knows Vegas, and there's big shows, and there's residencies, and all this stuff. What's the culture like growing up there for a kid who wants to do theater in high school? Is there tons of that there? You'd think there would be because of what's on the strip and all the casinos and that, but what's that like there?
You know, when I was in high school, all the high schools had theater programs. Okay. In fact, I went and watched the plays and everything. I actually got my feet wet my senior year of high school a little bit. That's where I kind of, I would say, caught the bug and got interested, which led to the acting class. But like all programs, you're seeing this throughout schools throughout America. They're taking them, the theater programs, away.
Terrible.
You know, Vegas, though, I would say overall, still probably, I couldn't tell you for a specific, but I would say, I would hope and think at least half the high schools still have full-time programs.
Right.
There's a performing arts school there, the Las Vegas Academy, which is pretty prominent. And it's turned out a couple of guys from the band The Killers went there. I think Akon, who's a singer. There's been people that have come out of that, not on professionally, and of course went into professional work on other levels, Broadway or dancing in some companies and stuff like that. So it's there is an arts culture there in Las Vegas, and I think it is fueled by all that entertainment. Even myself, I went back and performed in my hometown. I did a couple different shows, but not when I originally lived there. I went back, spent about 10 years. And did a couple different shows myself over that time. So I actually got to perform on the Strip. So.
Chris Mays is my guest. He is the producer of Dinner Detective. We're going to talk about that in a bit. And his company is Clearly Confused. Love the name. We're talking about, he's giving us some background about growing up in Vegas. He is now a proud resident of Peshtigo, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Just 6 short miles from Marinette, maybe 5, depending on what part of town you live in.
Right.
You mentioned the performing arts high schools. You have a performing arts school in Peshtigo, and I will say one of my hesitations about moving back here to Northeast Wisconsin, or more specifically Marinette, because there's a lot of culture around here, but I thought, you know, sports is heavy, which is great. I like sports. You really do learn the same lessons when you're part of a band or theater or, you know, these are great programs that should not be cut under any circumstances, but that's a different discussion. But I'm amazed that you started this school in Peshtigo. My daughter... I didn't know you at the time anyway, but my daughter took dance from your wife. And now you said the school's booming. You have a performing arts school. If you give these programs to kids, they will show up.
Absolutely.
You know, you a lot of places just don't have them. It's not that they don't want them or wouldn't participate.
Yeah.
So I applaud you for that. That's really spectacular what you're doing.
And I really give a lot of credit to my wife, you know, Meg. She is a... arts administrator and dancer, and she started it 10 years ago on her own. That was before she met me, too.
Yeah.
And launched it and started off with a handful of students, and now has grown it into, you know, I think this year's 120-plus dance, just on the dance side. I have about 20 kids that I do theater with. I have a couple theater classes. But, yeah, it's amazing. I think if you give – it's exactly that. Give them the tools. Give them the opportunity. Open the doors for them. They will go through the door. You know, and in areas like that too, they don't get exposed to a lot of art, certainly not performing arts.
Right.
So that's one of the interesting challenges I've found, because I've done a lot of teaching over time too. I did end up doing education, even though I went into the, you know, the theater and stuff. But it's really interesting in that area because, you know, I was kind of amazed by, you know, wow, these, you know, they don't really have a lot of access to even coming down, let's say, Appleton over to the Performing Arts Center and seeing a touring show or stuff like that. So we try to give them that by both teaching the process of the work and then also giving them product.
That's part of the issue too, though, is you guys are there. There's someone there to teach it, you know, and that's a big part of it too. What got you, you're from Vegas, I assume didn't have any connection to Peshtigo when you moved there.
Right.
Except for maybe Meg. Is that how you got there? And is she a resident or a native?
Yep. Well, she was born in Sturgeon Bay.
Okay.
Then her family moved to Peshtigo when she was young and she grew up there and she took dance in the area and was a, you know, a resident of the area. And then she went off to Chicago and plied her trade there for many years and then came back home and started the studio. And we met because we were both teaching at a performing arts school in Fargo. Well, it was in Fargo, Moorhead. So it's basically North Dakota and Minnesota.
I did stand up there in the 90s.
Did you?
Exactly, it's
a great area.
You know,
and it's amazing how much art's going on there.
Yeah.
You know, and again, where is the art happening? And that's where we met. She was teaching dance and I came in to teach some acting and some stage combat. That's how we met. You know, we became friends and then our friendship cultivated over time into a relationship, and that's what brought me up here.
So what's Peshtigo like for you? You had Vegas is a pretty big city, obviously, and there's a lot going on there, but how is Peshtigo for you on a daily basis? Because I admit, I living in Marinette, I am bored to tears, but I love it. It's a very easy place to live. Mm-hmm. It's not expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The people are nice and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I do crawl out of my skin sometimes, but I can go to the city or I can go do stuff. And, you know, but where are you at with that?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I live. It's the same concept. I mean, I've lived in cities as large. I've spent time working out of New York Vegas, Seattle. In graduate school, my first year, I was in a village. I lived in a town of 89 people that I then, you know, drove into where I went to the university. So I've had this range of kind of places I've lived. So it's not as shocking to me to be in a place like Peshtigo as some people thought when I moved there, because I had actually gone back to Vegas for an additional time to perform prior to moving out to Peshtigo. And as soon as I got to Peshtigo, everybody was like, how you doing? You know, it's like, it's almost like you're a shock victim of some kind. Right. It's like, are you okay? You know, how are you handling it? And I'm like, it's great to me. You know, yeah. I have no, sometimes, yes, it's not even so much the boredom. It's the ability to just, you know, be able to run in and do something in a city, you know, yeah, kind of exactly. thing. But I mean, Green Bay's accessible. And we went to Europe this summer for a couple of weeks, and we, you know, we always find ways to go cosmopolitan too. Yeah. So we find that balance.
That's great. My guest is Chris Mays. We'll have more with Chris after a very short break. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite after bar food, folks? And you can weigh in. What do you think about bologna?
Not for after bar food. Definitely not.
That's a recipe for disaster is what that is. All right, we're coming back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she can't do a thing to me. I just want to dance the night away.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, broadcasting statewide. Great to have you with me tonight as we do the show from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a gorgeous fall night here in Wisconsin. Dave on the stream also says, Amigos Super Burrito. We call it the dead baby. Oh, that's horrible.
Well, you know.
I expect nothing less out of Dave. I think I'm learning Dave's sense of humor over these months.
Love it, Dave. Love it.
Yeah. Ryan in Madison in the 608 says, after bar, breakfast, pancakes or breakfast burrito. Yeah, that's the first time we've heard pancakes.
Yeah.
Steve from Florida, that's Conrad's dad, says the best way to eat ring bologna.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me think of like ringworm or something. Steve says the best way to eat ring bologna is on a stick roasting over a hot fire. Put it on a toasted, buttered brat bun, and you'll create sandwich brilliance. Boy, I'm in lockstep with your dad on a lot of stuff, but it stops at bologna.
I don't agree, Dad.
And then the 608 John says, it's crazy when you clean off the coffee table in the morning and realize you ate 16 sliders again. I've been there. It is terrible. My guest right now, folks, is Chris Mays. He drove down here from Peshtigo just to be in the studio. I love it. He lives very close to where I live in Marinette. You were talking about mob hotels in Vegas during the break.
Yeah. And
when my wife and I moved to L.A. in the mid-90s, we got to stay at I'd read all these mob books. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of fascinated by the Stardust Hotel. I love the name, and I love the history behind the Chicago mob. And we got to stay there, and I think they tore it down like a year later or something.
Probably, yeah.
So a little bit of history.
Yeah. There. Well, it used to be that each one of those casinos were all individually owned.
Yeah.
Right? So because they were individually owned, they were operated individually.
Yeah.
And so usually there was some kind of, you know, it doesn't really exist, right? We don't talk about it, but, you know, they were affiliate, you know, they did things through there and really built it up. Goes back to Bugsy Siegel and
that
whole kind of aura of him being there and helping launch it. But it goes way back.
And Chris, what was it? It like in the movie Bugsy with Warren Beatty, he tries to sell the New York mob on building this oasis in the desert, but there was something there. Was it a trading post or a couple gas stations or something?
Well, originally it was a way station between Salt Lake and Los Angeles.
Okay.
And so then the LDS Church, when their people were coming through, they actually kind of established that. So one of the buildings that's still one of the few real historical buildings that stands, there's an old Mormon mission. which is basically this adobe building that's just kind of standing in this desert area. That
is it still there?
Oh yeah.
No kidding.
And yeah, so it was kind of a way station. Then it became this, yeah, light entertainment, you know. Yeah. In fact, Judy Garland performed there way back in the day as a member of the Gum Sisters, because she was one of them. Yeah, so, I mean, it's like I said, and then Bugsy, of course, launched the Flamingo. That's what he was tied to, was the Flamingo. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Been thinking about them a lot lately because of this whole other gambling thing that's been going on in the news and stuff.
With the mob, with oh my God.
Careful, Pete. You don't want to get, you know.
You know, I'm out of the mob. They let me walk away.
When you left Chicago?
I do love that whenever I would go, we just had Jimmy Pardo on the other night. And he and I went and worked a casino probably 20 years ago or whatever. About just outside of Vegas, I was reminded, like, we went in there at midnight, and we just, after the show, we just did stand up, and then we went and gambled, and like 8 hours went by like that. They pumped that pure oxygen in there, and there's no windows, and there's no clocks, and
no
you
clocks.
Just and we were having a blast.
Oh yeah.
But we left and it was sunny, and it's like, how the hell long were we in there? Like, yeah, they had a good scam going. You
that's
know?
A hell of a feeling when you walk out after, you know, I've done that, been up all night, having a good time. You go eat late night breakfast, the person who brought the breakfast, absolutely. Then you walk out, in blinding sunlight, and if it's summertime, it's already 100 degrees. And like, oh, man, you know, you've
walked into a furnace. It's so much fun, though.
It is.
All right, so I want to get into the Dinner Detective. Can we keep you through the news?
Oh, yeah.
So let's do that. We'll do that after the news because I don't want to rush through it. But tell us about this play you're doing in Tish Mills. I don't know Tish Mills. I heard it the other day, and then you just told me about Tish Mills and Sweeney Todd happening there.
Sweeney Todd,
not a very big city.
No, I heard about it from a friend who's associated with Dinner Detective.
Okay.
And she told me a little bit about it, and I started following them on social media and things, and I went, wow, it's amazing. What is this Tish Mills? Yeah, it's not even a town. It's like this unestablished village of people, basically. But it's called the Forced Inn Arts Collective. And what's amazing, the gentleman, Michael Sheeks, out there, he has created something that I appreciate because it's not just theater. You know, a lot of times theaters will associate themselves around a certain genre or style, like musical and things like that. Yes, we do that. Sweeney Todd is a musical, but he's willing to do all types of theater, all styles of theater, genres. And so it's pretty impressive in the middle of almost, I hate to say nowhere.
People might get offended. But if there's nothing there, there's nothing there. But it's cool that they have
it's an oasis. We just mentioned Oasis earlier. Yeah, it's exactly what it is, this little oasis of art.
What's your favorite kind of theater to do typically, Chris, or over the course of your theater career? Like, did you have a genre you liked? You liked the musicals or the comedy? Dramas?
See, that's always a common question. I find the enjoyment in all of them because they all bring challenges.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. You know, when you're younger, you have this kind of lineup of things you'd like to do. Well, I was very fortunate where I feel like I got to do a lot of those, including Sweeney Todd at one point. Now I'm doing it again for the second time many, many years later. So I'm revisiting the role. But I love absurdism. You know, like a Samuel Beckett or an Ionesco, which people are listening like, you know, but like I find that to be interesting, you know, and a great challenge. I love the language of Shakespeare, but I always love a good comedy too. You know, anything that makes people laugh, a farce. You know, I just did a farce not too long ago. We were talking about that. And just, you know, it's nothing better than when you're up there entertaining people and they're just having a great time.
Yeah.
And that's what it really comes down to.
You cannot beat a live audience. Yeah. And that's why this is the perfect time to spring this on you, Conrad. I think I'd like to start having a live audience in here.
Can you get
on that and see what you can
maybe
come up with?
Before the show we'll just corral people in here from the street.
Bring them in, offer them free drinks.
Exactly.
We'll figure it out. All right, act two is coming up next. Intermission is upon us, folks. Chris Mays is going to stick around for a few more minutes. When we come back, we're going to talk Dinner Detective. You got it. This is so great. And we're going to read some texts and all kinds of fun. And it's a Barman Friday night. Rocker is here tonight filling in for Terry. Oh, man, lots to come. Don't go anywhere. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.